We broke from the schedule because God has a better schedule. Amen. Amen. And so none of this was planned. We proposed, but God disposes. God has his ways, and they are so much better than ours. And I had two people come to us after our time of prayer to confirm beautifully what the Lord is saying to our hearts. And to our hearts specifically, Heather said that she could see God placing both Judy's and my heart, our heads on his chest by his heart. And when we were praying, you know, in movies, when you see when they got the gun and it's got a laser and it's sort of, oh no, it's on you. When we were praying, I looked and some sort of reflection off somebody's shiny something was right here on me. And I thought, that's interesting. You know, kind of somebody's targeted me. You know who has targeted me? The Lord.
Amen.
And it wasn't the laser attached to a rifle with a bullet in between it and me to bring death. It's a target of love. God has this laser pointed at each one of our hearts with his love, and it is so true and so pure. It was white. It was beautiful. And maybe someone would go, well, that's silly, but I won't. That is not silly. That is glory. That is sweet. And that is God in small ways and in big ways loving his church. Amen?
Amen.
And your expression of love toward us is beyond precious. It is medicine. It is strength. It is glory. So thank you.
Thank you. And I'm going to share the other part of what happened up at the front. And last night I was in prayer and on my bed and broken over certain things, and God spoke to me and just said, trust me.
Right, Geraldine?
Geraldine comes up and she says, God has got a word for you. It's trust me. Trust me.
Of course it is.
When the gifts of the Spirit are working in the right way, we see these kinds of things happening. And I'll tell you, there's no coincidences with God. Amen. God is doing stuff. God is doing stuff. And I am excited. I want you to get your Bibles out, please, and turn to John 18. You're going to get a very rapid sermon. I might have to talk fast to get it all out. John 18. You know, if you don't have a Bible, you come see me, okay? The board of this church said a long time ago, Judy, if you want to give away Bibles, we're right behind you. And the church has agreed to help me distribute Bibles, and Pastor Dan to distribute Bibles. Everybody should have a Bible in their hand. Everybody should have the Word of God in their hand. And I know we're in the days of electronics, and you can have it there too, and I'm not opposed to that. I like paper, but that's me. John 18. Get on to verse 28. This is an event that took place on the Passion Week. You know that this morning is Berean Sunday. And I tell you, the Word of God is so encouraging to me, as it is hard for me. Like, I know I push this so much, but there's reason for it. John 18, chapter 18, verse 28. Let's get to the scripture. I'm trying to wait for my eyes to stop blurring over. By the way, this is just handfuls of love that people were handing me. Thank you. Then they led Jesus from Caiaphas into the praetorium, and it was early, and they themselves did not enter into the praetorium so that they would not be defiled, but might eat the Passover. Therefore, Pilate went out to them and said, what accusation do you bring against this man? And they answered and said to him, if this man were not an evildoer, we would not have delivered him to you. Well, isn't that nice? They're talking about Jesus there. So Pilate said to them, take him yourselves and judge him according to your law. And the Jews said to him, excuse me, we are not permitted to put anyone to death to fulfill the word that Jesus, which he spoke, signifying but what kind of death he was about to die. Jesus said this was going to happen. Therefore, Pilate entered again into the praetorium and summoned Jesus and said to him, are you the king of the Jews? And Jesus answered, are you saying this on your own initiative, or did others tell you about me? And Pilate answered, I am not a Jew, am I? Your own nation and the chief priest delivered you to me. What have you done? And Jesus answered, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then my servants would be fighting so that I would not be handed over to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not of this realm. And we talked last week about what happens in the spiritual realm happens in the physical realm, and what happens in the physical realm happens in the spiritual realm. And Jesus was establishing the most powerful stronghold of deliverance for those of us that are bound in the physical flesh to get into the spiritual realm with him. And this is a stepping stone into that. Therefore, Pilate said to him, you are a king. And Jesus answered, you say correctly that I am a king. For this I have been born, and for this I have come into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice. Pilate said to him, what is truth? What is truth? Now some have read into Pilate's words, and they have figured that Pilate was maybe mocking Jesus about truth. But I actually think that given Pilate's role and Pilate's obvious attempt to try to keep peace in a very volatile situation in Jerusalem, when there's any uproars to do with the Jews, it is a very dangerous place to go. Jerusalem was under Roman rule, Gentile rule. And the Jews were allowed to have their freedom and religion, and there was constantly trouble because the Jews believed that their Messiah was supposed to have showed up by now, and so they were looking for someone to lead them to take over the Romans. And so we're in a very volatile time here. And Pilate's job in this time was not just to be a judge over this situation, but to keep the peace. And his life basically was on the line here. And Pilate knew that Jesus had done nothing wrong. Other scriptures tell us that Pilate knew that the Jews had delivered Jesus up to him because they were jealous. So he saw right through them. Pilate was no fool. Pilate knew the law. He was a man of high regard. And he was an educated man. I think Pilate was very confused at this point in time. Why on earth would they give me their king to kill? And I think that Pilate did not understand what Jesus was coming to do. And I also don't believe that Pilate had any control over the events that were taking place, that it was beyond his control on purpose, because it was by divine hand of God that Jesus was going to go to that cross. Jesus said, no man takes my life, I lay it down. A lot of times we look at Pilate and we blame Pilate. We make him out to be some snarly-faced evil man, whereas Pilate was, I don't believe he was any of that. I think he was just confused about what is truth. When he said, what is truth? I think sometimes, especially in the political arena, we get very confused. What is truth? Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. And we will look at that scripture again in a minute. In the book of Judges, the law of Moses was neglected. The word of God that Moses had given to the people had been disregarded. They weren't going to church, which was the temple, so I'm calling it church, by the way. They weren't doing that. And the Bible says that everyone did what was right in his own eyes. That phrase appears twice in the book of Judges. And it always follows judgment. Before this would be said, and then next thing you know, God was judging the people because they had fallen into sin, because everyone did what they thought was right. They left truth. And they went off on tangents of what they think is right. And the world today is telling us that right is wrong and up is down. And it's all backwards. And we don't even know what truth is. The church has been gagged in our society. is a very dangerous place when everyone does what is right in his own eyes. If there is no God, if there is no judgment, then anything you do is right because the end justifies the means. But believers in Jesus Christ, we are all about the end reaching Christ, but not about the end here on earth. It is about how we get there. That is what's important to the believer. But to the world, it's not about how you get there as long as you get what you want. And so you start removing the goal lines here and you start blurring what's up, what's important. And of course, you are going to have pure, absolute anarchy and confusion over what is truth. What seems really right to one person seems really wrong to another. And we have an amazing amount of fighting going on. Just say something Christian on Facebook and blast it all over the place and see what a response you get. You're not the nice guy anymore. They have made the Christians out to be the bad guy. Just like they did Jesus, they said he was an evildoer. I love this science fiction show. I'm big into science fiction, I confess, but I like the nice stuff, not the really dark stuff. And the captain of the starship is inviting some aliens aboard. They're going to have a diplomatic interview, and they're going to start to establish relations. And so, of course, they did what we do, and they put a big dinner on, and they began to eat dinner, and all of a sudden the other guys were really offended and just got up and stormed away, and nobody knew why. And so the rest of the show was figuring it out, and they found out later, how dare you eat in front of us? That's a vile thing to do. And you know, in their eyes, that was the wrong thing, and in our eyes, that would have been the right thing, to provide a meal, right? And so that's just sort of like what the world is. We don't know where to land. What is truth? There are a number of areas that we have accepted, even as believers in Jesus Christ, we have accepted certain places that we trust are going to deliver us truth. And I think the older I get, the more jaded I become about this. But some believe it's in our education system, that what they teach our kids in school is truth. In the universities, it's truth. They used to teach the world was flat. I hear that's coming back, by the way. Isn't that a hoot? I don't know. You got to be pretty, I don't know. Anyway, some believe it's found in popular opinion. What the world says is right, that's got to be right, because everyone else is saying that's what truth is. Popular opinion. Some believe it's found in government. Well, we've seen what Hitler and governments can do, so I think I've lost trust at that. We hope and trust that truth prevails in our legal system. Well, we already know, some of us, that that isn't always going to be the case. Some believe the truth is only what we can see and touch and feel. That, by the way, is a chalk picture on a sidewalk, and people are stepping around it because in their perception, there's a hole there, and someone has taken a section out of the ground and laid it over there. That's how it looks. But that is just artistry. That is not truth. So if we go by what we can see and feel, we're going to get a little bit lost. There's a, I just love this. I thought I'd Google. You know, Google's always fun. The epistemology, criteria of truth. This is. I'm going to read this really fast because it's more fun that way. Our standards and rules used to judge the accuracy of statements and claims. They are tools of verification. Understanding a philosophy's certain criteria of truth is fundamental to a clear evaluation of that philosophy. The necessity is driven by the varying and conflicting claims of different philosophies. The rules of logic have no ability to distinguish truth on their own. What? An individual must determine what standards distinguish truth from falsehood. So in other words, it's up to you. Not all criteria are equally valid. Oh, some standards are sufficient while others are questionable. So this is how you get truth. Whoa, really? So I had to look. I had to look further because it gives you a list. It says there's three things in the list of finding truth. The list has got 16 things on it. Just saying, you know, if you're going to find truth of the three things, there's 16 things on the list. Authority, coherence, consensus, consistency, mere consistency, strict correspondence, customs, emotions, instinct, intuition, majority, rule, naive realism, pragmatic revolution, time, tradition. Wow. That's 16 things that determine truth. Wow. I think they had the first one right. Authority. And I'm going to tell you where your authority is. Brothers and sisters, this is your authority. This is your truth. In the sack of Rome, in the sacking of Rome, there was a philosophy that was presented to bring Rome down, and some of you already know this, but it was, if you repeat a lie often enough, people will believe it. And this led to the internal disintegration of Rome. Because you see, the enemies of Rome understood, and those who were hungry for power understood, that they weren't going to be able to take down power any other way. They weren't going to get a big enough army. So they decided to do it from within. And it says, if you repeat a lie often enough, it'll be believable. If enough people say it, it's going to become truth. That same philosophy was picked up by a man named Joseph Goebbels, and he was one of Hitler's right-hand men, and he led the great propaganda campaign that led Germany to condone the massacre and pillage of the Jewish people and any Jewish sympathizers, and there was no compassion, women and children, and it did it just because they were born Jewish. And I'm going to tell you something, the antics of Satan have not changed. We've seen Satan work with his, this is, by the way, I've often said this, we do not fight against people, but we fight against principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness in high places. Satan has not changed his antics. And he's more on a widespread, worldwide now, of foisting lies upon us and on our society that are just as deadly. And this is why I have to address this question and why I feel it so strong to address this question. What is truth? Jesus brings us the truth. Jesus said it in his word. You say correctly that I am a king. For this I have been born. For this I have come into this world to testify to the truth. Everyone who is of truth hears my voice. Truth was established and declared by God. That's where truth comes from. I said earlier, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. That means that the gospel of Jesus Christ is only gospel that there is, that the only way to heaven is through Jesus Christ and through the work that he did on the cross. That is the only way. We read in women's Bible study about anyone who comes and brings another gospel, he is to be accursed. He is anathema. He is to be accursed. It says it twice. If you come with another gospel, if there is any other way to God, if you're preaching or teaching or believing any other way to God, it is cursed. The end of that way is death. There is no other way, and that is the honest to God truth. Amen. Jesus said in the garden, he's praying, and this is one of my favorite prayers in the scripture, by the way, in John 17, as Jesus is praying in the garden, he wasn't praying for himself, he was praying for us. And so when you look at what does Jesus want us to have, just look at how he prayed for us in the garden. It's John 17, starting at 13. But now I, Jesus, come to you. And he's talking to the Father. And these things I speak in the world so that they may have joy made full in themselves, that my joy may be made full in themselves. I have given them your word. He's speaking to God. I have given them us, his word. The world has hated them because they are not of the world, even as I'm not of the world. Verse 15, I do not ask you to take them out of the world, but to keep them from the evil one. How do we keep from the evil one? We are grounded in truth. Because Satan is a liar from the beginning. If we know this about him, the scripture makes this clear. We get caught up in a lie. We get drawn away from God. It's the lies of Satan that take us out of the hands of God. He says about us, we are not of the world, even as I'm not of the world. Sanctify them in truth. Your word is truth. Sanctify them means to set them apart for your purpose. As you've sent me into the world, I've sent them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they themselves may also be sanctified in truth. There it is again. I do not ask on behalf of those alone, but for those who believe in me through their word. That is our generation, not just those that were standing in that day, but us who have believed through the word of God in Jesus Christ. John 1, 1 and 2 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. There is a serious need for us as believers to put our faith in the Word of God as the authoritative truth. Early in my Christian walk, I read a book by Hal Lindsey that set me on the course of my Christian walk that I think gave me the firmest foundation I could ever have. It impacted me so powerfully, and it was called Combat Faith. It's out of print. I tried to get it. I am going to take that book, and I'm going to make it a Bible study, lady. So after we're done foundations, we're doing this one, Combat Faith. In that book, Hal Lindsey establishes the need to put your confidence and your faith in the Word of God. Your faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. If you don't have the Word of God, your faith is going to be weak. You're going to get tripped up by the enemy. It needs to be here. If God said it, you need to believe it. If God says it's wrong, it's wrong. There is no gray. It's black and white. And yes, the non-believer would say there's only shades of gray because the non-believer does not understand the purity of God. We have white purity because we have the Word of God to sanctify us, to purify us, to wash us. Hal Lindsey says this, and I have the quote up there. Satan's objective is to neutralize. Remember I said he works from within. And if possible, destroy a believer. Once we are lost to Satan's kingdom, he focuses on attack on preventing us from walking by faith, since it is the most essential key for living and serving God effectively. In connection with this, Satan especially seeks to keep us from learning and believing God's word. This is why we must get a combat knowledge of God's word. When you decide to take every word of God in faith, the manifestation of God's power will begin to work through you in ways you never dreamed. This morning we had the gifts of the Spirit at work. That's faith in God. That's an understanding of how the gifts of the Spirit work. That's trusting in God. And any word, any prophecy, any vision that is received, you need to know the word of God to line it up with the word of God, because it does not supersede the Word of God. It should always line up with the Word of God. If it does not line up with the Word of God, it is not of God. And we need to keep that in mind. I have seen churches that started off in the Word, got excited about the gifts of the Spirit, and left the Word of God in the dust and went off. And they're in a dangerous place to this day because their doctrine is shaky, because they have gone off and left the solid Word of God. And praise God, every word we received this morning was grounded and founded in the Word of God. It did not contradict, it confirmed, it strengthened us, it encouraged us. And our sister, who was moved by the Spirit to call for this prayer, she was moved by God to do something by God. When you put your confidence and your faith in God, stuff starts to happen. Yes. Stuff starts to happen. We start to see people healed. We start to see the non-believer believing. We start to see God drawing his loved ones to himself. And we start to walk in the commandments of God. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and mind and soul. It's hard not to love a God like him. And love your brother as yourself. This stuff starts to happen. And it shakes the world. And it shakes the enemy. And let him run, because I'm ready. I'm ready to make him run. I'll tell you, I'm ready. I'm tired of playing games with the enemy. I think we all need to stop playing games with the enemy and get out our sword of truth and start the fight. Yes. Amen. Truth was established and declared by God, but truth will be challenged by the enemies of God. The very fact that they brought Jesus before Pilate and called him an evildoer, which was a lie, shows you, and Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, that truth will be challenged. If they could take on Jesus and find accusation against Jesus, oh man, the rest of us don't stand a chance. When Jesus taught the scripture, people were amazed at how he taught it. They were amazed. But while they were amazed, there were other people that were mad. There were people that were mad. when Jesus went, they were watching. They wanted Jesus. They wanted to get something on him. They oh, let's watch him closely. And they just couldn't wait for him to do something that they thought wouldn't line up. So the man walks in on a Sunday morning with a withered hand, and they're watching. And you know what the Bible says? They're watching to see if he's going to heal on the Sabbath. Don't do that. And Jesus did it, and they're just like, see, that's not of God. He healed on the Sabbath. And they made a big rant, and Jesus tried so hard to teach them the scripture about loving your brother and about where the law fits into this, and they would not hear it. They were so mad, and they just wanted to be mad. That's all they wanted. And so if you're going to be standing in the Word of God, you can expect to be challenged by the enemies of God. You can be certain the enemy is threatened by the Word of God. He is threatened by it. It's our sword. The very beginning, the very simplest command of God, the very first thing God said to man was challenged by Satan. The very first thing, Genesis 3, verses 2 to 5, and the woman said to the serpent, from the fruit of the trees of the garden we may eat, but from the fruit of the tree which is in the middle of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat from it or touch it, lest you die. And the serpent said to the woman, you surely shall not die. For God knows in the day that you eat from it, your eyes will be opened and you'll be like God, knowing good and evil. You see, Eve did something to the Word of God. I put it up there. The word freely actually isn't in the scripture. You see, when Eve said, we shall eat by any of the fruit, she left out a word, freely. Satan will convince you that what you have in Christ is anything but freedom. But when you are in obedience to God, you are walking in freedom. And what God has set free is free indeed. Thank you, Pastor Dan. And she added to it. God didn't say not to touch it. He said not to eat it. So she took away and she added to the Word of God. Great tactic. Satan knew the minute she didn't know the Word of God, he knew he had a place to go. You see, people, we need to know the Word of God. Don't take away from it. Don't add to it. Get your nose in that book and get it. It's interesting how fast he works to chip away at our confidence in God's word. And of course, you know, the fall was very soon to come. We're living in the days where people are turning away from the faith in such great numbers, it scares me. Right is wrong, wrong is right. Christians are mocked for our faith in an old belief system. We're called, it's an old belief system. The echo of Satan's lie. I hear it all over today. When it comes to premarital sex, when it comes to any of the Ten Commandments, you will not die. You're not going to go to hell. This is a lie of Satan. He used it in the garden, and he's still using it today. And I'm sure if it's said often enough, people will begin to believe it. And I see it. Our children are being indoctrinated in schools that sin is okay. They are told to question authority. Now, just a minute. Question authority. If you have a question about what the Bible says, feel free to come and talk to me. But understand that this is the final word. This is the authority. And we will look into the authoritative book of God, and we will find an answer. If I don't know it off the top of my head, I will dig in and look. But the Bible is the authority. When you take that out, every man does what's right in his own eyes. The Ten Commandments in the U.S. is being pulled out of courtrooms across the country as court case after court case is being fought to remove it. All it takes is one person to complain, and they have to rip out the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt not. No black and white. Wow is right. And it grieves us as believers as we see these kind of things moving in the natural realm against Christianity. And it should grieve us. It should grieve us. There was prophets in the Old Testament that were grieved as their societies went downhill. Grieve us, but not stop us. 2 Timothy 3 verses 1 to 7. But realize this. And people, if you don't know we're in the last days, let me wake you up. We're there. These are the last days. I'm absolutely certain of it. Realize this, that in the last days, difficult times will come. For men will be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful. Oh boy, do we ever live in a boastful and arrogant generation. Revilers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, unloving, irreconcilable, malicious gossips without self-control, brutal, hater of good, treacherous, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, holding to a form of godliness although they have denied its power. Avoid such men as these, for among those are those who enter the household and captivate weak women weighed down with sins, led on by various impulses. Verse 7, always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Paul continues this because we will be looking more into persecution, but I need to move on quickly. Verse 12, and indeed all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. It's going to happen. Don't be surprised. But there's a lot that we can do about that. But evil men and imposters will proceed from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. You, however, continue in the things you have learned, continue in the truth, being convinced of it, knowing from whom you have learned them. And that from childhood you've known the sacred writings, which are able to give you the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be adequate and equipped for every good work. I'm going to wrap it up there. We see that I feel very passionately, as Pastor Dan does, about the need to know truth. It is not enough to own a Bible. It is not enough to read a Bible. I'm going to ask you that when you read your Bibles, that you believe and embrace every word as truth. It changes how it affects you when you read it like that. That this is the authority, not Facebook. Not Google. I know. You would be surprised, though. This is your final authority on life, on salvation. And I got to tell you, I'm glad that it is, because my Bible teaches me that I can have freedom and deliverance and a relationship with God simply by praying. All I have to do is ask God to forgive me. And my Bible says, He will do it. He will do it. If I confess my sins, God is faithful and just to cleanse me of all my sins, all unrighteousness, and I can have a relationship with Him. That's what my Bible says. I don't need to walk in guilt. I know someone here that needs to say amen to that. Amen. Because I'm telling you what, the enemy wants to guilt you. Because when you're walking in guilt, you're not walking in victory. We have victory in the blood of Jesus Christ over every single sin, no exception. Yes. Can you bow your heads with me, please? If you're here this morning and you say, Pastor Judy, I want that Jesus. I want to ask Jesus into my heart. It may be a renewal of your relationship with Him. It may be the first time for you, but I want you just to slide your hand in there. I'm going to pray for you right where you are. If that is you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Is there anybody else? Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. A lot of people want to renew that covenant relationship with Jesus Christ or make it for the first time. Let's pray together. Everybody pray with me. Dear Heavenly Father, I believe your word is truth. And I want forgiveness of my sin. And I want you to rule in my heart. So come, Jesus, into my heart. And purge me of my sin. Cleanse me from all unrighteousness. And help me to walk with you. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. I need a volunteer to take some pictures for me. Is there anyone here that has an...